Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to have yet another opportunity, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We are going to begin with a prayer as we always do. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for this blessed day, thanking thee for this blessed night. We thank thee, Lord, for all the time that thou hast given us and all the opportunities that thou hast given us to praise thee and to worship thee. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us here together once again. We are honored to be in thy presence, and we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Lead us, direct us in all things, and we pray, Lord, that each and everything we do here this day would be pleasing in thy sight. We pray, O God, that thy anointing would be here. We ask that thy blessing would fall, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are going to open our chorus books this morning. We're going to start with number 7, The Only Wise God. Number 7. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to turn now to number 68 and sing He's the Lord of Glory. Number 68. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is He. Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory. He is the
Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to number 110 in the chorus book and sing, He's My Bread When I'm Hungry, number 110. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And lest there be any confusion, I take the words in that chorus quite literally. I believe He is all right. In other words, that He's right about everything, completely right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 106 and sing, He is my everything, number 106. He is my everything, He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small.
how about you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new.
Turn to number 178 in the chorus book and sing, praise God, His name is wonderful, number 178.
His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful, His wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down. is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Jesus, praise your name. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy many blessings. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. We stand in awe of Thee. We stand in awe of Thy miracles. We stand in awe of Thy sustaining power. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to guide this ministry by Thy mighty hand. Direct our steps. Reveal to us Thy perfect plan. Help us always to be obedient to the prompting of Thy Spirit and obedient to Thy will. We ask, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead us in all things and give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy and mighty name. And we pray, Lord, that Thou bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We do have a prayer request tonight. And this is a prayer request from Vicki Wolf. She has a friend. And her husband, his name is Doug, has been diagnosed with melanoma cancer. And the doctors are saying there's no cure for that. But we know the one who can do the impossible. We know the one that can actually heal cancer. And he's done it before. I've seen stories about that from time to time, how people who have had cancer have had it mysteriously disappear after being prayed for. So we are going to pray for Doug right now and ask the Lord to touch him. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Doug. We pray, Lord, that thou would reach down from heaven. We pray, Lord, that thou would touch him. We ask, O God, that thou would do a miracle in his life. We pray, Lord, that thou would talk to him, that thou would comfort him in his time of distress. And we ask that if it be thy will, thou would reach down from heaven and heal him completely, Lord. We know that nothing is impossible with thee. We pray, Lord, that thy healing virtues would flow. And we pray, O God, that thou would do a miracle that would be a great testament of thee and thy power. We ask, Lord, that thou would touch Doug right now. We pray that he would feel thy presence and that right now. We pray that he would reach out to thee in faith, believing on thee as the author and the finisher of his faith, Lord. We pray that he would learn of thee and desire to know thee better. We pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen him by thy mighty hand. And we ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing that we can bring our prayer requests before the Lord because we know the one to reach out to when everything else seems hopeless. Praise God. We always have hope if we know the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing one more chorus before we begin our Bible study here this night. We're going to turn to number 128 and sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 128.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to turn us over to Shirley, and she is going to lead a Bible study tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you, Brianna, again. And good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful to know that the Lord is here. He's here to help us and to meet our needs, to encourage us, to give us faith. It's a wonderful thing that we can gather here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be praying as we start here tonight, and just very thankful that we know the Lord. Just what would we do without Him? You know, that one that we call upon, and oh, that one that meets our needs, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are here tonight. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you know every need. Oh God, you know every battle. Lord, you know every circumstance. God, you are the mighty one, Lord. And we can turn our eyes upon thee, Lord. And oh God, we can look at thee. And oh God, that you know how to encourage us. You know, oh God, how to instruct us. You know how to guide our steps, Lord, and how to lead us. God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. We pray, oh God, that you would move here tonight. I pray, oh God, that your presence would be here. Pray that your touch would be here. I pray, oh God, that you would give us faith, Lord. Faith as we've never had before. Oh God, faith to touch thee, oh Lord. Oh God, and to bring down the mountains in our lives, the strongholds, the things, oh God, that would seem to be insurmountable at times. But oh God, thou art here. Thou art mighty. Oh God, thou art our Savior. Thou art our King. Lord, I pray that you'd be here, Lord. I pray that you touch us. I pray that you give us what we have need of. Oh, Lord Jesus, for you know all the needs of your people, far and near. Oh, God, and we thank you that we could draw nigh to you. Pray that you touch us. I pray that you talk. I pray that the devil would be rebuked, that he would have no place here at all, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, give us victory in our hearts and in our souls, Lord. Oh, God, give us that faith that overcomes the world. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, have your way here tonight. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to be talking about faith here tonight. We'll call this message the victory that overcomes the world. And I imagine we all know what the scripture reveals with that. But you know, it is true that as we walk this life that we often have to overcome opposition, fears, sickness, all kinds of doubts, fears that, you know, can be very trying at times, and you know, could be persecutions, all kinds of manners of things that can come across our path as we walk this earth. And as I begin here tonight, I would like to just maybe turn here to John, the 16th chapter, and read this precious verse here that the Lord has given us to encourage us. I can imagine there as the Lord was uttering it, you know, what a time it was, because he knew what was forthcoming. He knew that he was encouraging his disciples with some words that would be some of the last that he would speak before he would give his life there on the hill of Calvary. And you know, I'm sure there were, you know, many things that he wanted them to know. And he knew that as that moment approached, that many of them would be scattered, that they would all depart, that they would be afraid, that they would not know what to think, that they would be overwhelmed in so many ways. But here he is trying to encourage them. Let's look at this portion of scripture here. John, the 16th chapter, verse 32. It says here, Jesus' words, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And he said in verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for those words. And you know, it must have been something, you know, God put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. You know, became man in order to identify with us and to know what it's like to dwell in this human body. But oh yes, he knew what temptations were like. He knew what trials were like. He knew what sorrows were like. But praise the Lord, in all that he had to go through, he overcame. And praise the Lord, that's a wonderful thing because, you know, he endured all those temptations. But because he endured, he made a way for us. He made a way. I mean, he became that strong and mighty tower that we could go onto and be safe. Oh, yes, that place of refuge. And oh, yes, that example. That one that put himself in the flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins and endured all those things that human beings endure. But in all that he endured, he overcame. He overcame the world. He overcame those temptations, those trials, all those tribulations of various natures that came upon him. And I'm so thankful for that. Therefore, he could say, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Now, if you would turn to me just a little more into the Gospels or into the Epistles here. We could turn to 1 Timothy and read a verse or so here. First Timothy, the 6th chapter, and let's look at verse 12. Paul is writing, of course, here, and he's admonishing Timothy, who is as his own, his son, actually. And here he says in verse 12, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I like all those action words, but you know, in saying this, Paul is again indicating that this walk with the Lord is not necessarily an easy walk. It, in fact, it's most likely far from easy in many ways. excuse me. The Lord does take our burdens, and he does make it easier in that regard because we could cast all our cares upon him and know that he cares for us. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing indeed. But as we walk this life, we soon realize that, you know, sometimes, you know, we are going it alone. You know, we can't really depend upon father or mother or brothers or sisters or best of friends or anybody to necessarily stick with us. It's a wonderful thing to have friends, you know, in the Lord and to have that kind of encouragement. But, you know, people are fickle. People change. And people, yes, leave this world. And you know, there's all kinds of things that can separate us in one way or the other. But praise the Lord, it's the Lord Jesus who becomes that best friend. It's the Lord Jesus that sticks with us through all our troubles. But, you know, we're going to have to do some fighting. We're going to have to do some spiritual warfare. And here the words are to fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, fight is an action word here. But I also like the fact that it says, it's a good fight. It's a good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. It's one that we can win. It's one that we can prevail. And he's, you know, goes on to say, lay hold on eternal life. That should be our greatest goal, to make it to heaven, to lay hold on eternal life. And of course, he's admonishing Timothy in particular here as he was writing it. And you know, he's, you know, he had professed a good profession before many witnesses already. Timothy, in his walk with the Lord, had proven himself to be faithful. And that's wonderful. We all want that ability. And you don't, that's said about us that, you know, we ran the race and we professed a good profession before many witnesses, that they could acknowledge that we indeed were a child of God and that, you know, we lived as a Christian. So it's a wonderful thing. But here, yes, the admonition is to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. And going on with this thought, I want to also turn to 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, because we're going to have more details given us about this fight that we are going through in this world as we live for the Lord. Paul, also writing to the church at Corinth here, writes in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 3. And, you know, these are important verses to note. Because, you know, sometimes people, you know, when they think of, you know, the fight of faith, you know, they're thinking of weapons and, you know, the things that you would do in the physical world, to, you know, to fight a battle. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. That's not what, you know, the Word of God reveals. Because here in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it tells us clearly, actually, that although we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And you know, this is contrary to normal thinking and the normal way of doing things. But he explains, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And, you know, as we walk this earth and, you know, living in victory with the help of God, but, you know, fighting all the opposition and all the doubts and the fears, and so much of what we fight is a battle in the mind. Because, you know, we have an adversary. It's the devil, and you know, he tries to put all kinds of things in our mind that are negative and even false and discouraging and, you know, just whatever he can. And, you know, his hope is that we'll just run with it and, you know, hang on to it, and it'll just bring us into despair and discouragement and, you know, cause us to stop fighting that good fight of faith. But praise the Lord, there is strength that comes from God. And here he's teaching us how to fight that fight of faith. Yes, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I'll tell you what, if we are fighting a war in the physical sense, you know, It might take a while to bring down a stronghold, you know, some kind of, you know, place that has been, you know, set apart as a stronghold, as a fort, you know, a place that, you know, is fortified. But in the spiritual sense, there are strongholds that need to be brought down, works of opposition, works of the enemy, that seeks to destroy our soul, that, you know, we have to learn to bring down. But praise the Lord, we can do it through the strength of the Lord, through prayer. We can bring down those strongholds. And it's explained in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, these are important thoughts here because, yes, we're all going to fight battles, every single one of us. But praise the Lord, we learn to recognize what is the Lord speaking to our heart, that inner voice that speaks to us? Are they words of life? Are they words that come from the Word of God? You know, does it go along with the Scripture? Or is it, you know, the voice of the flesh? Or is it the voice of the enemy, the devil, that works as an adversary to destroy us in every way he can, to hinder us in every way he can? But praise the Lord, we can cast down those imaginations, those vain thoughts that try to overwhelm us and captivate us and, you know, go on and on like a record in our mind. And, you know, pretty soon you might have a whole scenario that's all developed in your mind. You might have a whole story and, you know, it just, you know, based on notions or things that the devil has inserted into your mind. But praise the Lord, we need to recognize, hey, oh devil, that's not God. I cast those thoughts down in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to go there. Let those thoughts be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, we can do that. Praise the Lord, we can cast down those imaginations, those vain thoughts, and, you know, those things that try to overwhelm us. And yes, everything that opposes, that it comes against the knowledge of God, in opposition to His Word, in opposition to the ways of God, we need to recognize those things and cast them out. You know, Jesus was able to defeat the devil there when he was tempted. You know, he said, no, devil, I'm not going to go along with that. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, he knew how, by using the Scripture, how to defeat the devil. No, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And therefore, the devil was defeated, because when the enemy came in and tried to insert those thoughts, even in the mind of the Lord Jesus, he knew how to bring them down. And praise the Lord, by the time, you know, the devil had attempted all those things, he had to go, didn't he? After it was over, because, you know, the Lord Jesus had rebuked him, and those thoughts were all cast down and brought down. And praise the Lord, the devil left. Praise the Lord. But that's our example, so that we can learn how to live in victory, how we can overcome, how we can say no to all those driving issues that the devil tries to insert into our brain. And so instead, we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh no, devil, you are a liar. I am not going to do that. I am not going to think that. You know, that's not of God, and I refuse it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank God, because he knows how to give us that strength. You know, we are told to rebuke the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Praise the Lord. But we can bring those thoughts into captivity. Oh yes. Bring them under subjection to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as we walk this earth and as we fight that good fight of faith, we are striving to endure. We are striving to obtain eternal life. And it tells us, if we now turn to 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4 here. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Praise the Lord. Oh, this little verse tells us a lot. It tells us, oh yes, that those that are born again of the water and of the Spirit, born again, born of God, can overcome the world, amen, through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord. And the victory that helps us to endure, that victory that helps us to overcome, is our faith. Faith. Praise the Lord. Samuel was talking about faith, that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And, you know, with the help of the Lord, we will continue there. But we know that faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is the very source by which we can overcome the world. Oh, yes, we walk by faith if we're a Christian and not by sight. It's not always going to be in front of us. It's not always going to be real clear, but because, yes, we know it's the will of God. Because, oh, yes, it is written. Because, oh, yes, it's in our heart, placed there by God. Praise the Lord. We can perceive that it is faith. And you know, we can grasp and hold on to it, you know, that substance of things that is not visible. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And praise the Lord, that's how all the children of God have endured. You know, that 11th chapter of Hebrews reveals that, you know, that's how the elders of the Old Covenant, of the Old Testament, obtained a good report. It was through faith. They needed faith then, and if they didn't have faith, oh wow, they didn't get very far, did they? Oh, we know that the children of Israel, when, you know, it was time for them to enter into Canaan land, you know, and Joshua sent out those 12 spies. We know that, you know, 10 of them came back with an evil report. You know, it was a beautiful land. It was a good land. They brought back those, you know, grapes that were so bountiful that it took two individuals to hold them. And all of the other things they saw that grew in the land were bountiful and wonderful, you know, just so fruitful that land was. But, you know, they saw something else. And it became so great to them that they no longer wanted to go into the land that the Lord was bringing them into. They saw giants. They saw giants. And you know, the giants were so big and they just felt so small in comparison. And faith didn't work in their hearts. And they thought, therefore, you know, we can't go in. The giants are too strong. They're too mighty. We're not going to make it, you know, they surmised. But praise the Lord, there were two of those spies that saw beyond that, Caleb and Joshua. Oh, you know, they had eyes of faith. And you know, Caleb said, we are well able to go into the land. He knew his God. He knew that God was able to take charge. God was able to deliver them. God was able to deliver them from that enemy that seemed so big, those giants that were in the land. And praise the Lord, God was looking for individuals with faith. We know the sad story because those 10 only saw defeat and impossibilities. Therefore, that older generation could not enter in. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 more years. And you know, instead of entering in and believing God, having faith, it was forbidden. The door was shut because they couldn't see beyond the giants, the things that seemed, oh, insurmountable in front of their eyes. But praise the Lord for those that had faith. And, you know, that faith that the Old Testament saints had is very necessary for us too as New Testament saints. We've got to have that faith if we're going to prevail in this world. For as we know that sixth verse there in Hebrews 11 chapter says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, praise the Lord. That individual that hungers and thirsts after the word of God, that individual that seeks the kingdom of God above all else that has that earnest desire to see God, to know God, and praise the Lord, and has faith to believe that, you know, by obeying the scripture, by having faith in God, that there's going to be great rewards beyond. Yes, that there's going to be that haven that the Lord has prepared for us. Praise the Lord. And that's what it's all about. Having faith, believing God, and praise the Lord. All that are born of God overcometh the world. And this is the faith, or this is a victory rather, that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the victory that overcomes the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we go also to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we get a little more help in understanding how we can walk through this world and gain the victory and have faith, defeat the enemy, and bring down those strongholds. If you look at here, the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, let's look at verse 10 to begin here. It says in verse 10 here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Praise the Lord. And this is important to know, because we do have an enemy that we must stand up against. But here we are also given the way to defeat him. And here we are instructed to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. And wiles means tricks, all his cunning, all his devices, because yes, the devil has, you know, he's been around for a long time. And yeah, he's got a lot of cunning. He's got a lot of devices. He's, you know, worked with all people through the ages. And you know, he's observed people and their habits and their ways. And he has a few tricks up his sleeve, so to speak. But praise the Lord, we can put on the whole armor of God, and not just part of it. He says the whole armor of God here. And it explains in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So he goes on to say, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Oh yes, we want to stand. We want to be able to defeat the opposition, to overcome. And praise the Lord, yes, we're told, you know, it's not the things that are visible that we're fighting. We don't fight against, or we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, it tells us here. But it's against the unseen principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, the devil and his cohorts, and, you know, his hierarchy, and all the things that he promotes, and all the battles in our mind, and all those things that, you know, try to overwhelm us so that we don't have strength in ourselves, which we never would of our own self. But praise the Lord, through Christ we can gain the victory. But here he's telling us, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And then, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Oh, we need the truth of the Word of God. Oh, yes, we need it hidden deep in our heart. We need to stand on it. You know, the truth is a firm foundation that's going to endure through all the tests and trials of this world. It's going to endure. The devil, you know, cannot withstand it. So we want our loins, so to speak, to be girt about with truth, the truth that is in God's word. And also having on that breastplate of righteousness. And we know it's not our own righteousness. It's not a works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by his mercy that he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, yes, and by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which he has given us. Oh yes, this wonderful privilege that we have in the Lord, but he clothes us with his breastplate of righteousness. We could never do it of our own will or our own power, but praise the Lord when we're washed in his blood, when we're cleansed by his Spirit. Oh yes, he clothes us with his righteousness. Praise the Lord. So that day that we stand before the Lord, that he sees his righteousness upon us, that garment, that has been covered with the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Praise the Lord Jesus, his blood that covers our sins. Praise the Lord, when we repent and give our lives to the Lord, he takes those sins from us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess those sins. Praise the Lord, and we can bring it to him and know that, yes, they will be covered by his blood. And praise the Lord, we could go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that is for the remission of sins. So those sins are washed away in those waters of baptism, which is a wonderful thing. They're remitted. Not only are they forgiven, but they're remitted. So there is no more payment for our past, our sins, our transgressions, all those things that we did that displeased the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord made a way. Praise the Lord. And then he promised us the gift of the Holy Ghost, his Spirit, to come and dwell in our very being, so we could have his overcoming strength in our lives to walk with him. Yes, and to hear his voice and to acknowledge it and to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, we want our loins girt about with truth. We want to have on that breastplate of righteousness. He goes on to say in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, praise the Lord, that preparation in our hearts, so that, yes, as we walk this life, that, oh yes, we have the gospel of peace within us and upon us, and, you know, that desire to share it. Oh yes, oh, and let it be known in this world that so desperately needs a Savior. And it goes on to say in verse 16, above all, oh, this is utmost of importance, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, praise the Lord. This is quite an amazing verse. And I was thinking of that. I had opportunity to speak with some individuals yesterday, and you know, this subject of faith came up, and you know, I begin to think about this verse, you know, this wonderful gift that the Lord has given us, that we can have this shield of faith. Oh yes, you know, just covering us, so when the fiery darts of the wicked try to attack us and aim at us and hit us, those darts are repelled by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that he puts within us. They're deflected. They're turned aside in a way because we have faith. Faith repels them so that, you know, they don't enter in. You know, they're deflected, therefore, repelled. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful thing that the Lord has given us, this shield of faith that we put on by faith. This faith, this victory that overcomes the world. Praise the Lord that he has given us, that, oh yes, all the fiery darts of the wicked can be repelled. Praise the Lord. They don't have to hit their mark. Praise the Lord. He's going to try. Oh, yes, we have an adversary, and he's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But praise the Lord has given us the gift of faith. The ability to believe him and to put on this faith. So yes, those darts that are aimed at us do not have to become a part of us. Do not make their hit. Oh yes, they can be cast off. Praise the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus. By that precious blood that he's applied to our lives. Oh, I think that's a wonderful thing. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, those darts that are hurled. Yes. Oh, don't have to. Oh, yes. Reach the goal that they are set for. Praise the Lord. We have the Lord. We have his name. Oh, yes, the name of the Lord. Oh, it's a strong, it's a mighty name. And we can call upon that name. Praise the Lord. And he delivers us. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think we all have testimonies of moments that we called out that precious name of the Lord. The name of the Lord Jesus, and praise the Lord. Oh, there was instant deliverance. Praise God. All the wonderful things that he does for us. So above all, we want to take that shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, oh yes, all the fiery darts of the wicked. And besides this, it says to take the helmet of salvation. Oh, we're good about, oh, with the gift of salvation that he puts upon us. And the sword of the Spirit, oh, yes, that he explains, which is the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God, it, you know, that makes its mark every time. The Word of God that dwells in our heart. Oh, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, the word that is a lamp unto our feet. Praise the Lord, a light unto our path. Praise the Lord. Yes, the wonderful Word of God that we hold dear, that we put within our hearts. That is the sword of the Spirit. And praise the Lord by, yes, making all of these a part of our weapon, a part of our armor. We can defeat the wiles of the devil. We can bring him down. We can bring those strongholds down in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, we don't have to walk in defeat. We can have victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can walk even as the Lord Jesus walked, with his strength and with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we take that armor. Oh yes, and we apply it to our lives. And we hold it dear. And yes, with such we are able to stand in the evil day. Oh yes, and gain victory and advantage over the wiles, the trickery of the devil, praise the Lord. And this portion of scripture just kind of stops here with verse 18, where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh yes, that ability to pray in the Spirit. Oh yes, to bring our needs, our petitions to God. Oh yes, those supplications, those humble requests that we all have, those needs. Praise the Lord. We can make them known to our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, he answers, doesn't he? He makes a way. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, we do it with persistence, with perseverance. You know, just like, you know, that instructions in 18th chapter of Luke, that woman, that widow woman who came to the unjust judge and you know, had a petition, had a need, and he would not hear her for a while, but you know, she kept on coming back. She kept on coming back. She persisted. Oh, yes. She wanted an answer. And oh, yes. She was not going to stop until that answer came. And praise the Lord, there came that time that, you know, that judge, even though he didn't fear man or he didn't fear God, yet because, oh yes, she came constantly to him, she troubled him. He was going to avenge her of her adversary. Praise the Lord. He was going to intervene. And Jesus said, you know, if hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh, praise the Lord. He's telling us, you know, that we ought always to pray and not to faint. I know it happens. At times, you know, instead of persisting and, you know, and continuing in prayer and supplication, that there are times that people give up and you know, they call it off and just think, oh, well, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to ask anymore. But Jesus was encouraging us in that 18th chapter of the book of Luke that, oh, yes, we need to always pray and not to faint, not to give up, and, you know, to continue to bring our needs, our requests unto the throne of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he reassures here. He says, I tell you, speaking of God, that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to answer. Oh, yes, it might be a long time in coming, but the answers do come. Praise the Lord. If we'll hold fast and if we'll continue, if we'll be persistent. And then that big question that Jesus asked, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And as time continues here, and as I feel that we are near the soon coming, the reappearing of our Lord and Savior, I can see why he asked this question. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Because it does seem like it's harder for people to grasp faith. It seems that many are walking without faith. Many have given up. Many don't take it seriously. Many are into philosophies of men and other ways of thinking. But praise the Lord is looking for a people that continue, oh, instant in prayer, and, you know, that don't give up, that seek the face of God, that have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and, oh, yes, want the Lord to be Lord of their lives. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that come boldly before that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh, yes, that he might intervene in our lives and bring forth the answers that we desperately need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, that encouragement here to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. It's just a wonderful thing when we're praying and the Spirit of God takes over. And, you know, sometimes it can be in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit makes intercession through us. The things that we know not. And it may be somebody else's need, very likely. Or something that we know not of. But something that maybe even disturbs our innermost being. But praise the Lord, we can pray in the Spirit. And God knows how to intervene and bring about the answers. Oh, yes, and adjust things and change things. Bring forth his will. Praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, yes, I know we all, as fellow travelers in this world, need encouragement. We all need support. We all need prayer. And praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's such a privilege to bring one another before that throne of grace and trust the Lord for the answers, knowing that he's able to supply the needs of his people. Praise the Lord. But how precious it is that here we are told how we can put on the whole armor of God. And oh yes, by doing so, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for that shield of faith. Oh, that faith that repels the darts that are aimed at us. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's a precious thing to have faith. And I know even when Jesus walked this earth, there were times that people struggled with faith. I think one place we could look into for a moment here is the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. And here was an instance where, starting with the 14th verse here in Matthew chapter 17, that it tells us, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.'" Now Jesus had given his disciples power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to do all manners of works in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they had seen that happen. I know there were many devils that were cast out because of the power that was given to Jesus' disciples. But here's a case where, you know, for some reason, this man had this very desperate need. And he had brought his son to the disciples, and they obviously didn't have faith to cast out those devils that were involved in this situation. Jesus answered by saying in verse 17, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" Tells us in verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Then a little later, the disciples came to Jesus separately, apart, it says in verse 19. And you know this question, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus did answer in verse 20. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." But then he did include this thought here in verse 21. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Oh yes, sometimes it's going to take a little more to bring down the strongholds. Yes, Jesus is telling us that there's times that it's going to take prayer, it's going to take fasting to bring down those walls that are so thick that they, you know, it's going to take a special faith on our part that only God can give us. Oh, it's only as a grain of a mustard seed, but praise the Lord. Sometimes it takes a lot to get us in line with the Word of God, in that place where we can have that kind of faith so that we can believe and we can expect the answers to come. But praise the Lord, faith brings those walls down. Praise the Lord, yes. There is a way that those strongholds can be broken. Praise the Lord, and yes, faith as a grain of a mustard seed, yes, brings those walls down, brings great deliverance and healing to those that are afflicted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I was thinking of this message, I also was thinking of one of the great examples in the Scripture there in the Old Testament. And with this, I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Of course, this is a really familiar story in so many cases, but you know, David had a lot of faith. And you know, if we just have a few minutes here to look at some of this here, I think it's going to encourage us too. But we know here in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, that there was a time when, you know, the Philistines were gathered against the Israelites, and you know, they were pitched together there, and they were all arrayed there in battle formation. And of course, in the Old Testament, you know, they were fighting in the physical sense. In the New Testament, oh, our warfare is in the spiritual sense. But here, as an illustration, we see that they were gathered against the Philistines in the Valley of Elah. And, you know, the Philistines were on a mountain on one side, and the Israel camp was on a mountain on the other side. And then there was the valley between them. And there was this great champion of the Philistines that was coming out. And, you know, we talked about the giants that prevented the children of Israel from going into Canaan land. But here there was a giant, yes, that was trying to insert his great might in front of them and cause them great anguish and fear and disbelief. And so it was. His name was Goliath. And yes, he was a big guy. He was 6 cubits in a span, and that means that he was about 9 feet and 9 inches. And he was a big guy. And, you know, besides that, he had all this armor on, and in the physical sense, he was completely covered practically, except for, you know, very remote spots, like maybe around his face. But, you know, he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, you know, the target of brass between his shoulders. So here he is. He's just very armored up, very covered with this heavy stuff. Besides being, you know, this very large man, and he had a staff that was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and, you know, there was one bearing a shield going before him, a shield bearer that was even in front of him. So it seemed like he was very well covered, you know, on his person, and, you know, with his shield and everything else, and yeah, the shield bearer that went before him. But he was threatening the Israelites, and he was boasting, and he was bragging, and he was telling them to send out a man and let them fight him. And, you know, if he would fight and defeat him, then the Philistines would become, you know, their servants or their slaves in reality. And otherwise, you know, the Israelites would, you know, I have to serve the Philistines. But, you know, beyond that, he defied the armies of Israel. He was in opposition to God, and, you know, he was boasting and he was bragging in many ways, it seems to me. And I'll tell you what, it seemed like it was working. You know, Saul and his army, when they heard the boasting words of this giant, you know, were all dismayed and sorely, greatly afraid. But here came little David, and he was just a young man. His father had sent him to see how the battle was going. He had 3 elder brothers that were in the army and part of this, and you know, he was bringing their pledge. His father had asked him to do this, and of course, when he came onto the battle scene, he sees what's going on, and you know, as he gets out of the carriage that brought him there, and you know, he begins to see what, you know, there's this big old Goliath that's out there and threatening them and speaking boasting words. And he sees the reaction of his brethren, you know, the army of Israel, that they're all fleeing and so afraid of this man when he comes out. They run, and this had been going on for 40 days. And here comes David. Oh my, he's young. And you know, he's obviously, you know, not, you know, a muscular, strong-looking person compared to the giant. He's, you know, he's youthful and all of that. But he sees what's going on, and he hears the boasting of this Philistine, and you know, he begins to talk to his people. His brother thinks, oh, you're just naughty. Why did you come here anyway? Did you leave, you know, those sheep, you know, alone and just come here to see what we're doing? Why are you here? You know, it was like, you know, David was some naughty boy that had come just, you know, to see the show, so to speak. But God had sent David there. And what a story it is, because, oh yes, he begins to ask questions. What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Oh, he begins to ask this question, and, you know, they would answer what Saul, the king, had pledged, you know, would come to that person that, you know, had that kind of victory over this Goliath. But, you know, they all just think, why is he asking? I mean, isn't it obvious? This guy is so big and so huge. Who could ever defeat him? His brother, his oldest brother, Eliab, you know, just again rebuked him strongly. I knowest thou thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. But David said, verse 29 here in this chapter, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from one toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. You know, nobody's, you know, giving him, you know, any hope. You know, it doesn't look like there's anybody who's willing to fight the battle. But he kept on asking. He went from one to the other. And you know, finally, he asked it so many times that his words came to the king. His words came to Saul. They were rehearsed before Saul, and Saul sent for him. Oh, yes, what's going on here, you know? But I love David's persistence. Praise the Lord. You know, he knew something was wrong. And, you know, if none of you are going to fight this giant, then I am going to do it. It can't be that such an individual, this uncircumcised Philistine, should have this kind of power and authority. We shouldn't be afraid of him. You know, he's driven of the devil, so to speak. He's an adversary. He defies God. He's not our friend. And David knew that, oh yes, through the Lord, we have wonderful strength. We have ability that comes through God. And oh, there is nothing too hard for us if we'll just hold on to faith and believe God. So finally, yes, he was sent to Saul. And you know, David came out and told Saul, verse 32, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Saul's in unbelief. He said to David, thou art not able to go after this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But praise the Lord, David had gained some victories already in his life. All these things that the Lord does for us, sometimes they might not be the hugest of things, it might seem, but you know, even the little wonders that the Lord does for us all add up and give us faith so that we can believe God when the great trials and tests come forth. And David had already in his youth even gained some victories. And he told Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Do you get the picture here? Oh, praise the Lord. David was the keeper of sheep. But there out in the fields, you know, a bear and a lion had come after a lamb. And I think this instance here in verse 35 is probably, you know, referring to the lion. And, you know, it had the lamb in its mouth. But David was not going to let that lion get his lamb. Praise the Lord. He goes right up to this huge creature and takes that lamb out of the lion's mouth. I'll tell you what, that's faith. That's boldness. That's courage. I'll tell you what, how many people would do that? But he did that. He got up close to this lion and took the lamb out of that mouth of that creature. And then he said, when he rose against me, I mean, you know, that lion wasn't going to, you know, let this lad, you know, take away that lamb. David caught it by the beard. He caught that lion by the beard, and he smote him, and he slew him. Praise the Lord. And yes, obviously, he had done so with the bear too. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And praise the Lord, you know, God was using those instances in his past to give him faith for this which was right in front of him, that giant that who was in front of him at that moment. And he said, he declares, "And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Oh, praise the Lord. I love the faith that was in the heart of David. Yes, he knew his God. He knew that God would stand with him if he would stand there and fight that good fight of faith. If he would lay hold on eternal life, God would fight with him. God would give him the victory. Oh, God had delivered him out of the hand of the lion and out of the hand of the bear. And he knew that God would deliver him out of the hand of that uncircumcised Philistine. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, he had faith. And it was so convincing that Saul said to him, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and Saul tried to give David his armory, so to speak, you know, his helmet of brass and his coat of mail and you know, his sword and all that sort of thing. But, you know, David tried to, you know, he said he essayed to go with such on, but, oh man, it was heavy. He wasn't used to that. You know, his faith wasn't in that. He hadn't proved it, it says. It hadn't been tested. And he, you know, he didn't feel good in that sort of thing. So he said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. And verse 40 tells us, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Oh, praise the Lord. That Philistine, oh, he looks at him with disdain. He's a youth, and he's ruddy. He's fair-skinned, fair countenance, it tells us. He did have a beard, in other words. And, you know, oh, that Philistine, he's not nice at all. Verse 43 goes on and says, he declares what he said, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields." Oh, praise, Praise God for the faith that David had. So many people would have been discouraged. Oh my, you know, he had such a hard time even convincing somebody that, you know, there was a cause, there was a reason to fight, and that God, if we would go forth and, you know, do it, that he would be with us and give us victory. Oh yes, he had it in his heart. He knew his God. Oh, he was able to tell that giant. Verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And oh, look at his faith. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Praise the Lord, and all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we know that the Philistine arose and came near, and David hasted. Oh, he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Oh, praise the Lord. He put his hand in his bag, and he took a stone out of it. He slung it, it says. He smote the Philistine in his forehead, about the only place that he wasn't covered by all that armor. And oh, yes, the Lord had directed that aim. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is with his people, and he knows how to lead us, how to guide us, how to give us wisdom, how to deliver us out of our predicaments, out of, you know, those situations that try to overwhelm us, maybe bury us. Oh, you know, oh my, if we could just hold on to faith, if we could just believe God. You know, maybe you're sick. Maybe you need to be healed. But praise the Lord, there is a God, oh yes, a God that sees our needs, and a God who knows how to answer. Praise the Lord. Oh, I am the Lord, thy God that healeth thee. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, he knows how to heal us. He knows how to save us. He knows how to deliver us. Oh, no matter if we're surrounded by the giants of this world and all kinds of circumstances that might seem to be overwhelming, yet we have a God who knows how to bring all those obstacles down in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the blood. Oh, yes, because he gave us a spiritual armor that we can bear, that we can wear. Oh yes, that will hold up to all the trials and the tests of this world. Praise the Lord, that will give us victory regardless of how unrelentless, you know, the enemy may seem to our lives. Oh yes, into our, you know, in our circumstances. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God saw the faith in David. And yes, it tells us clearly, yes, he did. He slung that stone and it hit the Philistine in that forehead, that place where he wasn't covered. That stone sunk down into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. And it says in verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And again, what he yet did, I think this is, you know, certainly an act of faith. It says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and he slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and that gave the men of Israel and of Judah courage to go and pursue the Philistines. And, oh, yes, they were defeated that day. The Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. Oh, yes, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Praise the Lord. But God gave them victory because there was a young man that dared to have faith. Oh, in spite of the scary options, you know, and the fear that overwhelmed all the others, so that they were shaking in their boots, so to speak. Oh, there was a young man, oh yes, who had faith in his God and knew that God would deliver him from that giant. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. But that God that David served is the same God that we serve tonight. Our God doesn't know defeat. Our God knows how to win the battles. There is nothing too hard for our God. Praise the Lord. With His help, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Philippians. Amen. And you know, as it tells us in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Oh, let's turn here. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8. It says in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. If we're on the Lord's side, if we've given our hearts over to the Lord, if we're living with Him and in purity and in holiness, who can be against us? Says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And praise the Lord, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. No tribulation, no distress, no persecution, no famine, no nakedness, no peril, nor sword. Praise the Lord, tells us as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That faith that overcomes the world. Oh, yes. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, yes, what can we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that faith that He gives His people. Oh, yes, so that we can overcome the world. Oh, yes, that victory that overcometh the world. It's our faith, that shield of faith. Oh, yes, that the Lord gives us. So, yes, all those darts that are aimed at us, oh, can be repelled, can be rebuked, can be sent back. Oh, praise the Lord. We have victory. Oh, yes. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we serve a God that doesn't know defeat. Oh, we know a God that can take us through all of the circumstances of this world. He can deliver us. He can heal us. He can save us. Oh, there is nothing too hard for God if we'll put, oh, yes, His faith in our heart. We'll just believe Him. Oh, no wonder if the naysayers are great and everybody is coming against us and nobody believes it. But He puts it within our heart. And we can stand upon the Word of God. Oh, yes. We can lean upon it. We can rest in it. And oh, yes, we can take that shield of faith. And oh, yes, know by that faith, oh, yes, that all the wiles of the devil, all the darts that are aimed at us can easily be repelled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that saving name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, David knew that God was able to deliver. And we serve that same God tonight. Oh, there's nothing too hard for him. Oh, if any problems, any situations, any needs, the Lord is able to do if we'll just have that persistent faith and believe in our God and trust in his promises. Praise the Lord, those giants go down in the name of the Lord Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord. That's what's going to get us through. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to endure until the end. It's by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that he puts within our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just cry out to the Lord here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that overcomes the world, that faith that you put within us, Lord. I pray that you'd work within us, God. I pray, oh God, that you bring us through the trials, the tests, oh God, the works, oh Lord, of the enemy, oh Lord, let them not prevail, but give us victory, oh Lord, through Christ that loved us. Oh God, give us that kind of faith, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hold on and to believe you, Lord, regardless of what's going on and what the naysayers may say, God. Give us that kind of faith, Lord. Oh, God, give us that kind of strength. Oh, Lord, that faith that overcomes the world. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, there is a song that seems fitting to sing tonight. It's not in any of the books, but hopefully I can find the sheets for it. Praise God. Yep. We are going to sing Faith is the Victory. Praise God. I'll make sure that everyone gets one of these. Praise the Lord. Since you were playing it earlier, I have a feeling you have the music, so. All right, faith is the victory. Encamped along the hills of life. fight. Ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints before with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand we find drawn up in dread array. The tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. Praise the Lord. are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.